Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. We hope it is treating you good for this May 8th, 2023, 9:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning, good morning.
And Beth Habhager.
Good morning.
We got great stuff lined up for you this hour in a little bit. We're going to get into some entertainment news. Looking forward to that. Also, a little bit later, we'll get into some That Ain't Right stories. Good stories of the day. All of that coming up for you. But right now, it's 9 o'clock on a Monday. You know what it means. Something good.
Well, welcome to the Kitchen's Open here on WFHR. We're excited to bring you these little nuggets of kitchen wisdom each week. This week, we're talking about asparagus.
Really? Asparagus? Yay! Some people adore asparagus, and others wouldn't want to poke it with a 10-foot pole. But before we get too deep into it, we want to thank our sponsor. The Kitchen is Open is sponsored by Chatterbox Catering, a full-service catering company equipped for all your catering needs.
That's right, Beth. Personally, I love asparagus, but it took me until I started making it myself. I'll share that story in a little bit, but we're still talking about spring foods, but now is the time to start thinking about booking a caterer for your summer parties. Kathy's homemade sauces and foods are delicious, and they're even better enjoyed outdoors. Make your party planning easy by calling Kathy.
That's right. Kathy will help you plan the perfect menu for any party you're planning. Just call 715-712-3393. We'll tell you that number again at the end of the segment.
Right now, we're going to talk about some aspergas, sparrowgrass, or just grass. No, not that kind, you two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a little nervous.
We're talking about the stalky green vegetable that's been a part of our diet for ages.
Literal ages. It was grown in ancient Greece and Rome. Royalty had a fascination with it. It's said that Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus organized elite military units to search out this vegetable.
In the present day, asparagus patch locations are a guarded secret. And beware to those who harvest someone else's patch.
For real. I used to have two neighbors who had this long-standing feud about who owned a particular patch. It was on the edge of one's field, but the other neighbor argued it was in the ditch. Oh, the stories I used to hear. She would spitting mad. But
I can only imagine.
Well, before we get to who owns what, let's start by diving into the history of asparagus. The family Asparagacea has up to 300 species, native from Siberia to southern Africa. It's in the same family as hyacinth and lily of the valley. They're also distant relatives of the onion and garlic. Some of the African species are grown as ornamental plants, but the best known is the garden asparagus many of us love.
Like I said earlier, Roman royalty prized asparagus and would even send runners into the frozen Alps with asparagus spears to freeze them for storage.
The ancient Greeks harvested the wild asparagus in connection with their goddess of love, Aphrodite. Many other cultures also believed freshly sprouted asparagus a symbol of fertility because of its shape and the way that it grows. Some even use it as an aphrodisiac.
Asparagus even appeared in an Egyptian frieze about 5,000 years ago. Apparently, Queen Nefertiti was a fan. Archaeologists actually found traces of asparagus on dishes excavated by the Pyramid of Saqqara. In Egyptian culture, the vegetable was considered sacred and used in religious ceremonies.
Get this. In ancient China, honored guests were treated to an asparagus foot bath when they arrived. It was used in ancient Chinese medicine as an anti-swelling medicine. I can only guess that after a long walk to China, guests would definitely need some. You're going to figure out what's good for feet after you make that walk. Yeah.
And historically, asparagus was included in Easter dinners because it is a true sign of spring, a symbol of new life and fertility, and it fast growth symbolizes resurrection.
Now, there is some controversy over whether it was the Romans or the Egyptians who first cultivated asparagus, but it was grown as a crop in these two ancient civilizations over 2,000 years ago.
Being both Italian and Egyptian, I take claim to the asparagus completely. The popularity of the asparagus seems to have died out during the Middle Ages. I guess they had better things to worry about. But it continued to be cultivated by the Arabs in what is present-day Syria, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Lebanon, and Iraq.
Now, the French continued to cultivate asparagus, and it was reintroduced into Europe in the 15th century by French monks. Louis XIV ordered his royal gardeners to grow the vegetable in his Versailles hothouses so he could eat it year-round.
Asparagus was then brought to North America by the French colonists in the 1600s. It wasn't until 1850 that it made its way to California, who is now the leading grower of this vegetable.
Herbalists believed asparagus to have many medicinal benefits. It was used as a laxative and to expel gravel and stone from the kidneys. It was also used to treat urinary problems. It acts as a direct and helps rid the body of excess water and salt. That's even and there's even research suggesting that asparagus extract may help alleviate hangovers.
The asparagus species possesses a variety of biological properties like antioxidants, immunostimulants, anti-inflammatory, anti-hepatotoxic, which is preventing damage to the liver, antibacterial, antitotoxic, which helps delay uterine contractions, and reproductive agents. Actually, it's really fascinating when you look into all the ways that asparagus was used as a medicine.
Well, it certainly has many health benefits, even just by eating it. Asparagus can help with weight loss, help prevent urinary tract infections, promote reproductive health, and even be a mood booster. Huh. Asparagus is packed with nutrients, including vitamins A, C, E, K, B6, folate, iron, potassium, copper, calcium, and protein. Plus, as you mentioned, Melissa, it is a rich source of antioxidants.
That's right. But the real question I want answered is, why does it make my pee stinky?
I got this. I know this. Me.
Okay, James.
Call on me.
All right, James.
The odor is caused by your body's gastrointestinal system and metabolism reacting to the vegetable. Asparagus contains an acid which releases sulfur compounds when it's digested. That causes your urine to have a funky smell. But interesting fact, only around half of people experience this phenomenon. For some, it's because their stomachs don't digest the acid in a way that release the sulfur. For others, they simply don't detect the odor.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Another weird fact, though, is that most gardeners plant male asparagus.
That's not weird. That's actually kind of smart.
You would say that, James.
No! Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. That sounds bad coming from me, the one guy in the world.
Yeah.
But no, it's actually science, you two. Male asparagus is easier to harvest. It grows in larger quantities as well and produces large, more delicious spears. In the spring, it grows small yellow flowers, but during the fall, the female plant grows red berries, known as asparagus fruit. These are toxic and should never be eaten. Very rarely will a male plant produce berries. Many gardeners will dig up the female plant's roots and all once they produce berries. They do this because the weight of the berries can cause the plants to topple over to touch the ground. This can cause fungi growth and damage your entire bed.
Ooh.
Oh, okay. Well, you're right about the science. Mm-hmm. Good note, James.
Yeah, thank you, James.
Thank you. And one more thing worth mentioning. Asparagus comes in three colors, green, purple, and white.
Wow.
I didn't know.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know white was an option.
Oh, yeah.
The purple one, now I can match. I can match with it. The purple ones turn green when they're cooked. The white ones are mostly grown in France and other areas in Europe. They're grown in the dark. They get covered with dirt as soon as the spears appear and grow entirely underground. They're harvested with a special tool called a white asparagus gouge. It has a handle with a long rod and a blade at the end that can reach into the mound and cut the asparagus underground. This process is obviously more labor-intensive, and therefore white asparagus is far more expensive. Mm-hmm. But I, just real quick pause, I didn't even know anything grew like that. I thought everything grew. That blew my mind. That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that is really awesome. And understandably that we don't have it as available here because it's far more prized over there.
Right. Well, if I remember correctly, I've seen some different colored asparagus at the farmer's market. So people might want to check that out this summer. And this is all well and good. But can we please be done talking about the science and now get on to the good part?
Of course, Beth. Mm. Let's talk recipes. But first, I have to share the story about why I hated asparagus as a kid.
Yes, please.
So, my mom always made asparagus toast, and I thought it was disgusting. I don't remember her making asparagus any other way. So I thought asparagus was icky.
Hold up. Uh-huh. What's asparagus toast?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty much what it sounds like. Mom would make a piece of toast, boil asparagus to put on top of the toast, and then cover it with white gravy.
Hmm.
I thought it was a soggy, disgusting mess, but that's how my mom liked to make it. She loved it. As an adult, I realize now it was that she boiled the heck out of the asparagus so that it was easy to cut on the toast. Mm. I've learned since then that cooking it very quickly is the best way to make asparagus.
That's true, and it's not just because of how it tastes. The short cooking time keeps more of the vitamins and nutrients intact. The shorter, the better. Some people even eat it raw.
Mm. I like it raw, but blanched or steamed until just tender is probably my favorite.
It's also delicious roasted in the oven or grilled. And it's super easy. To roast it, after you wash it, trim off the tough woody ends, and then throw it on a baking sheet, spritz it with some olive oil, and season with some salt and pepper. Then you roast it in a 400-degree oven for about 10 minutes. It's delicious just like that. Or you can squeeze some fresh lemon juice or on top, or maybe put some shaved Parmesan cheese with it.
Now you're talking. Mm-hmm. You know, I might try it if you add the cheese part.
Okay. All right.
Asparagus is also delicious with eggs. You can bake it into a quiche or a frittata. It's also really good in omelets or a scramble. Apparently, if you're on a diet, asparagus and boiled eggs are the perfect meal. Fills you up with plenty of fiber from the asparagus and protein from the eggs.
There's the great weight loss idea.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
What about roasted wrapped asparagus bundles?
With prosciutto? That sounds delicious.
Yes.
I read some interesting things about that this weekend and how they make prosciutto. I never knew it was aged that long and never cooked.
Yes, my people, the Italians, they know their way around a good ham.
Well, we might have to talk about that on a future segment.
Yeah. You're getting sidetracked, people. Mm. How about angel hair pasta with shrimp and asparagus?
Ooh, yum.
Mm-hmm. You make it in a light tomato sauce using plum tomatoes, garlic, chicken broth, and white wine.
Ooh, I would have to try that. Light tomatoes. I think I could handle that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one I have to try. Parmesan asparagus fries. You did the prepared asparagus into an egg and flour mixture, then dredge it through a mixture of panko and Parmesan and spray it generously with olive oil. Then you can bake it in the oven or use an air fryer. That sounds easy enough. Easy even for me to make, I think.
Yeah, James, I think you could pull that one off.
I think so, too.
I'm going to try.
And we didn't even get to the soups yet. You can make a cream of asparagus leek soup or just even cream of asparagus. This is for true asparagus lovers, though.
Yeah, the addition of leeks is sure to make your kitchen smell earthy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever cooked with leeks, but it's a special smell. But it sounds like a cozy, delicious soup.
Yes.
Well, we've run out of time again. We've got to thank our sponsors, Chatterbox Catering. Thank you for sponsoring our Kitchens Open segment.
If you have catering needs, contact Kathy at Chatterbox, and she will create the perfect menu for your party. While asparagus is a spring vegetable, much like Louis XIV, I'll bet Kathy can get it year-round.
For sure. She might not have royal gardeners, but no doubt her suppliers can get her the freshest ingredients for her delicious creations.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever your catering needs, contact Kathy at 715-712-3393 and let Chatterbox Catering cook up something good. And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Great episode, you two. Well done. Melissa, you worked so hard on those.
Yeah.
Nicely done, Melissa.
Thank you,
nice work. Shout out to Chatterbox Catering as well.
Yes, thank you, Chatterbox.
Take a break right here. We'll come back with some entertainment news and more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. We're going to talk some entertainment news right now. And this is cancel season and renewing season for TV shows. A lot of jobs going to get lost. A lot of jobs going to get renewed. But with that, you're always going to have some, you know, hits and misses and some people that are going to be frustrated with those losses and some that aren't. But as an actor, your job is you just keep moving.
Right.
Ed O'Neill told me this long ago, and it just rings true more and more the more I learn about this industry and this job. You've got to, it's always about the next project. There's nothing guaranteed to you as an actor. There is no 401k. There There is no retirement plan. This is the gig. This is the job. And you sign up for it knowing it. I'm not saying that anybody should feel sorry for actors and for us for that, that we know what we're walking into. But there's so much emotion and so much humanity mm-hmm. involved in these things. Imagine if you had to start a new job every 3 to 4 months.
Yeah,
it's what acting is. Imagine that your first day of school was every 3 or 4 months. That's a lot of what mm-hmm, acting mm-hmm. is. You finish this project, you put everything you've got into it, you change your weight, you change your hair color, you do all these different things. 3 months go by. All right, now do it again. Now do mm-hmm. it again.
With
now,
a whole new group of people.
Yes. Yes. And a lot of the times, too, because of that purpose of, you know, I'm not the only one that was told by that by Ed O'Neill. Ed O'Neill, somebody got told that by mm-hmm. another actor, by Gary Cooper, I believe. And some other actors and stuff. So it's one of those things. It's a long time tradition of, hey, look to that next gig.
Right.
You also don't want to be on a sinking boat and you're mm-hmm. on a show that may be mm-hmm. ending or something like that. And you want to jump to a next gig. And that is kind of what Shamir Moore did when he left Criminal Minds. He was for people like myself and our own Steph and everything. We love Criminal Minds. Love, mm-hmm. love that show. You could put Steph and I in a room for hours and come back and we'd still be talking about that show. He was a huge part of that show.
Mm-hmm.
He used that popularity and that break to go into a new TV show where he would be the headliner. Mm-hmm. And that was the TV show SWAT. Well, CBS has canceled SWAT, meaning it's done after the season 6 finale airs on May 19th. And Shamir Moore is not happy about this.
Oh, no.
He posted on Instagram, quote, "It makes no sense. We've done nothing wrong. We did everything that was asked for us." He added that CBS has made him believe as recently as last week that the show would be given some kind of 7th season to say goodbye properly. But he's not giving up. He wants the fans to let CBS know and to spread the make noise about mm-hmm. this, to spread the word, to reach out to them. There have been many fan campaigns that have saved shows before. And maybe it's something like happens to Brooklyn Nine-Nine or Magnum PI, where it goes to a new network or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that once it went down, it's down. It's done. Because, right. Like, this is Shamir saying this stuff, but there's other actors, there's other writers, directors. They're all on other projects. Mm-hmm. And then you throw a writer's strike in the middle of all this, and more than likely, the show's done. I'm sorry, and I never seen the show. I'm a huge fan of Shamir's, and I got nothing against the show. I wish it was on for another 10 seasons for the actors and everything, but just knowing the industry, I don't want to discourage the fan base from saying something. I just want them to be, you know, I don't want them to think that this is going to save it. It has an opportunity to.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting where we are now, though, because he's not the only actor doing this. Back in the day, you just shut your mouth and you took it. Right. Talent didn't talk. Yeah. Talent didn't have a voice. It's part of the reason why the Writers Guild is doing what they're doing right now. Because right. for the longest time, well, I'm the producer. I'm the one with the money. So what I say matters.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that matters. Yeah, but creatively this. Yeah, but creatively that. I don't care about your creativity. Your creativity doesn't matter to me. This is about making money. This is a business.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have to merge those worlds.
Yes, you do.
One can't exist mm-hmm. without the other. All the art, all the creativity in the world, that's cool and all. How are you going to budget this? How are you going to manage this? How are you going to, you know, you need that stuff. You mm-hmm. need somebody, like, you need the yin and yang of this. Mm-hmm. So it's not as if the creative world can exist without people with money, people with a medium to put your product out there.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, we do have the internet nowadays.
We do.
And we do have a lot more power to the creative people.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
while, yes, you can't maybe get the exposure you would on a CBS or something like that, everybody's got YouTube.
Yep.
Everybody's got, I mean, there are, there is a different day happening with this, which is, again, part of the reason why the writer's strike is going on, because producers are like, I'll pay you for this, and then you're out. Like, wait a minute, that's not how this has worked in human history. The Mary Tyler Moore Show, those writers worked on that show as long as the show was running.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't just fire the writers as soon as you got the scripts. Like, things change, things grow. You can tell a stale script. You know it when you come out of an episode. Well, that was a clunker.
Mm-hmm.
That's because that's an old script, because it's an ancient script. And by ancient, I mean like months ago. That's right. All it takes. Like, there's a reason. All this stuff is tied together.
You have to stay relevant with what's happening in the Absolutely. World around you as well.
The writer strike has already got its first one of its first you know, well, the true victims are the writers, but the fan bases as well are going to be hurting from this. And now the Stranger Things is going to be holding up. The production on the fifth and final season has been halted. Creators Matt and Ross Duffer said, quote, "While we're excited to start production with our amazing cast and crew, it's not possible during the strike. We hope a fair deal is reached soon so we can get back to work. Until then, over and out." Marvel has also shut down pre-production on the new Blade movie, but Deadpool 3 and Thunderbolts are still scheduled to start filming next week because those were already written. Mm. Pete Davidson bought pizza at De Picketers in New York City.
Good for him. He's
been doing a really cool thing doing this and stuff. God, I like the way this kid is handling his life. for the most part. I don't know. I don't expect anybody to, you know, bring out a violin for writers or anything mm-hmm. like that. But I do hope you're paying attention. And like I started this whole entire thing, this show with and everything, it's important. It is not just about the entertainment industry. This bleeds into almost every industry you can think of. Mm-hmm. And it's vital that these things, that everybody should be paid what they are worth.
Yeah.
They you should be paid for the job that you do. And everybody, and I'm talking about any field, you should be able to make a living that you can provide for yourself and your family with.
Mm-hmm.
That is the human experience. That is the life. That is any kind of, you can throw around this ism, that ism, whatever you want to say. That's the point. You should be able to do that. Anything that's holding you back from that, a minimum wage that has not been changed since the late 60s, early 70s, that's no different than the way that, well, yeah, you guys wrote this sketch for TV, but it blew up on the internet.
Right.
But I'm only paying you for the TV. The internet's mine. How does that make sense?
It doesn't.
If you worked at a factory and you worked on a car and you built it and you were going to get part of the, you know, proceeds from that or whatever, you're not just getting it like when it sells like from the lot. You'd get it when you get it whatever dealership it is in the country. You would get that money from it. Like, It's not a difficult like step to make. This isn't hard. What people are asking for here, what the writers are asking for.
Well, and in so many other areas, the copyright laws protect people so that if it does get onto the internet, they still get paid if it makes its way onto the internet. I am weekly having to double check to make sure that I am not violating music copyrights to be able to have things in worship because we stream. So why would that be different than what people write as well? That needs to be copyrighted by them, and they should be getting the credit for the work that they've done.
Mm-hmm. Miley Cyrus is costing herself God knows how much amount of money, and granted, she's making plenty, you know, and everything. No, you don't need to feel sorry for her, but she's not working on a lot of new material because she's redoing her own material so she can own it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know,
was that Taylor Swift?
Taylor Swift.
Yeah. Why? Who did I say?
Miley Cyrus.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Pop stars are all. I don't. I'm being honest. I don't listen to these artists, so they, you know. Thank you, Melissa. It is correct. It is important to get that correct because what Taylor Swift is doing is admirable, and I think and very important for the creative world. Also, she shouldn't have to do it.
Right.
She shouldn't have to be doing this. Like, it's you know, I would feel really messed up if I was a fan of hers. I buy all of her music, and then this all comes out and everything. I'm like, well, wait a minute. I want her to get the music. So now I got to rebuy her music. I got to all the music I just own. Now I got to re-own it so I can make sure that she's getting the, like, it's just, yeah.
Yeah.
The MTV Movie and TV Awards were last night. Or this weekend. I don't know if it was last night or Saturday. I did not watch. I'm sorry. I like going. We usually, when the Oscars happen, we go through, you know, the big hitters, the big winners and stuff for fun. And I think that it's, you know, has some meaning to it and everything. I want to go through a couple of these just because they're funny.
Okay.
This is the way most award shows I've always felt should be done. Breakthrough performance, Joseph Quinn from Stranger Things, of course. Best fight was Courtney Cox and Ghostface and Scream 6. Like, good. I like stuff like that. Like, I think that's fun. Best kiss was on Outer Banks. The best villain was Elizabeth Olsen from Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm.
Best hero was Pedro Pascal from The Last of Us.
Okay.
Best performance in a show was Jenny Ortega from Wednesday. Best performance in a movie was Tom Cruise in Top Gun. The best TV show was The Last of Us. And the best movie was Scream 6.
Okay.
a list like you will not see anywhere else, being handed handing out a little awards and stuff. I just think that that's fun. I think more award shows should be less serious. Yeah, you should have a little more fun with them and everything. Let's see. Let's go ahead and get to Melissa's news. We'll take a break right here, and we'll get to Mel's news. We'll come back. More fun will be had on The Morning Show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, James here with you. I could talk over Carlos Santana's guitar all day. If I could have any musician playing like for me in the background, I'd probably be Carlos. It'd probably be
Great
Santana.
Great soundtrack.
Oh, yes. My God, yeah. Yeah, just he's my favorite guitarist of all time, far and away. By far and away. We got some fun stuff to get into to take you to the top of the hour. One of those things is coming to us from Forbes. Forbes magazine ranked the best states to live in if you're trying to save money. So I thought that was kind of an interesting list. Mm-hmm. Certainly one that a lot of people are doing. Is there anybody who's not trying to save money?
This is true.
Like, seriously, think about that for a second. Like, is there anybody you know or anybody you can even think of off the top of your head? Like, well, yeah, that person don't care. That person can just go ahead and spend whatever they want. Like, people that might do that, but not anybody that necessarily can afford to do
that.
Mm-hmm. Ever think about that? Like, how many rich people do you really know? Like, I know people that are richer than me, but that ain't a high bar. I don't know, like, filthy rich people.
Right.
Like, I don't, you know, you don't really... It's interesting how that works when you take a step back and you kind of think about that society-wise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because I think we think about that a lot and that there are a lot of people out there like that, but there's actually not.
Right, right. And that doesn't seem right. That doesn't seem like true capitalism to me. That doesn't seem like the game that we all signed up, that we all agreed to play. Doesn't seem right to me.
Nope.
So Forbes looked at four different categories: cost of living, housing, debt to income ratios, and taxes. So here are the best and worst states for saving money according to these, according to Forbes and according to these outliers. They say North Dakota is the best place to be. Mm. So you guys went the wrong direction.
I did. Sorry.
Gotta go back. they say North Dakota is not only the best place, but that it's not. But if that's not what you're looking for, there's also another option that's almost as good: South Dakota.
Well, there you go.
One and two.
The 10 best states for saving money are the Dakotas, North and South Dakota, 1 and 2, West Virginia, Missouri, Ohio, Indiana, Kansas, Tennessee, Wisconsin, and Arkansas.
See, I didn't go that far away.
Yeah. The 10 worst states for saving money are Hawaii, California, Maryland, New York, New Jersey, Oregon, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and Nevada.
Kind of surprised to see Oregon on that list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Most of that list is coastal.
Yes.
Yeah. I did notice that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of ironic. Like, isn't that how we get things into the country from exports?
Yeah.
So you would think it would be more accessible there.
Here are a couple of key takeaways. Hawaii is the toughest state in which to save due to high living costs and high debt to income ratio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's really expensive there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Northeastern states are heavily represented among the top 10 states where it's most difficult states to save. The Midwest dominates the top 10 list of states where it's easiest to save.
Mm-hmm.
And high incomes don't always make saving easier. Six states with median household incomes over 80,000 rank among the top 10 states where it's most difficult to save.
Yeah.
That's because the cost of living is higher.
Exactly.
Correct. Yes. Huh. Now, I don't know really what you do with this list. I don't know that you pick up and move.
Oh. Be glad that we're in the state in the one that's easier to save in.
But, yeah. I mean, what a great selling point to entice people to come move here to be a part of the workforce, which we were talking about earlier in the show. You know, you move here, you can get a job, and it's going to be easier for you to save that money.
You ask any representative, you ask any state leader or anything like that, every state in the union is trying to keep people, specifically young people. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin is no different. You see a lot of these things. You see Wisconsin on the list. There's a lot of things that you would like, that you would say, well, wow, Wisconsin must be doing really good with that stuff and population and everything. And you go ahead and listen to any of our interviews with Teston, Krug, mm-hmm. Katrina Shankland, any of our people in our area here. And it's not the case.
No.
Because of childcare, because of low, yep. because of the minimum wage, because of a number of these kind of factors and everything. So even a state like Wisconsin that ranks in the top 10, most people, you if you throw a rock and ask somebody, hey, how's it going for you? And you ain't going to get the greatest answer.
No.
Yeah, you know, it's not to say that this is the obviously the worst or anything like that. But do you want to play defense or offense on this? Because we're already playing defense on a lot of these subjects.
Right.
If we want to get around that and get back to playing some offense on these things, there has got to be a correction in the market.
Mm-hmm.
And miss me with the, well, if we have to raise minimum wage, we have to raise this, this, and this. It's raised anyway. Mm-hmm. It's going up anyway. The cost of living goes up every year anyway. This is economics, people. I shouldn't have to explain this to adults. That's how economics work.
Right.
You found this out in grade school. Like, raising somebody's minimum wage is not going to completely destroy every small business or any. It's ridiculous. Warren Buffett knows better than that. We listen to the smartest minds in economics when it comes to, oh, I need a tax break. Oh, I need this. Why do we not listen to them when it comes to this subject?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder.
And the more you pay for somebody, the more money that they will have to be able to put back into the economy to buy things. If you're not giving them enough in the first place, they're not going to be able to buy anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and investing in your employees is a good business model, because if you help, you know, make an employee feel like they are worth it to you, they will be loyal mm-hmm. to your company and do a better job.
I am one of the most loyal human beings you will ever hear from or meet. I am loyal to a fault. I understand that about myself. I have learned because of business, because of the world that we live in, that phrase of being loyal to a fault.
Mm-hmm.
Now, no more. Like, the companies have to show me that they are investing in me and my people before I am just going to throw my loyalty to a company just because they're paying me.
Mm-hmm.
Those days are over. And I'm saying this not from me. I'm saying this as the American worker. Like, that's us mm-hmm. now.
Yep.
That's not just me. That's the American worker going forward. Like, I've never been one of these people, and I've never liked that necessarily. It's always seemed icky to me, the person that lives their life like, what have you done for me lately? Like, hey, I helped you out last year move. Yeah, but what have you done lately? Like,
right.
Well, yeah, but that move, nobody else was helping me. I've never lived my life that way, and I don't like that. Except with business. Except with the business world. They're treating us that way.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we get treated. If we want to leave a job and you want to leave like that day, you are gonna carry that with you the rest of your career on your resume. They want to fire you right now, they can. Doesn't matter. Doesn't mm-hmm. affect them one
Doesn't
bit.
Doesn't hurt them.
The system has been rigged and has been against the worker since the beginning. It's been, and we wonder why we've got this top 1%, why we wonder why most of us people that live an average life have no rich friends, mm-hmm. these kind of things.
Living paycheck to paycheck.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. It all adds up. Now that was a bit of a pun. That was if we're talking money, that was a little bit of I didn't mean to do that. We're gonna take a break right there. I don't know about that, but I did want to ask a completely side question. So I've spent a little time in the Carolinas when I was young,
mm-hmm.
And I noticed, never say this obviously to a Carolina person, but North Carolina, South Carolina, I didn't notice a huge difference other than like the barbecue and a couple of things here and there. Is there a big difference with the Dakotas? I've never been to either one of them.
Not really.
No?
They're both flat.
Yeah, yeah.
With some mountains. In the middle. The only difference is that South Carolina or South Dakota has national parks like Mount Rushmore. No, they're both pretty much the same.
I one time doing this job early, this is like not even this go around, this is my first go around back in the day doing Over the Back Fence, and I made some off joke about, well, why don't the Dakotas just, you know, join forces and just be, and I was only kidding and stuff like that. I got email after email from people from the Dakotas. Yeah, the Dakota fan base, very similar to the Swifty fan base. Mm-hmm. Don't upset them.
No.
Like, I say a lot of controversial things. You will hear me go and get on my soapbox about a lot of stuff. I have no problem with the Dakotas. I wish them both well. Nothing against Taylor Swift. Wish her well. Don't let the send the Swift army after me. I don't need that. Take a break. Come back. We'll have some more fun with N.A. Wright stories, good stories of the day, and plenty more for you on the morning show here at WFHR. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. We greatly appreciate the updates from our good friends over at the Weather Eye Weather Center. A big shout out to them all morning long, taking good care of us, letting us know what Mother Nature's got in store. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We are going to take it to the top of the hour. Got a N.A. Wright story and then some good stories of the day. Got some local good stuff we want to talk about as well. All of that coming up. Tomorrow, I want to talk a little bit about the flame-colored tanager.
Tanager.
Okay. Tanager.
Tanager.
Yeah. Yeah. Melissa and
really
I are going to.
Pretty bird.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Melissa and I are going to touch on that tomorrow on the morning show. Encourage everybody to be listening for that. Can do a little homework for it beforehand. Mm-hmm. Right now, that ain't right time. And usually our That Ain't Right stories involve a person or an incident or something, or Florida.
I was going to say, or a state.
Yes, yes. This one, I thought it'd be a little fun to kind of change this a little bit every once in a while and kind of focus it in a different direction. And we have here, the headline is the top things in dating profiles that immediately make us swipe left. So that ain't right stuff as far as in the dating world, the online dating world and everything. If you're scrolling through any of those. In a new poll, people were told to assume if you were scrolling through one of those dating apps, Tinder is the one that they're talking about, what would be an immediate deal breaker for you? Like, as soon as you saw its profile, you swipe left. You don't want that person.
Okay. Swiping left is a no.
Right. I think we need to mention that stuff because even I didn't remember any of that. I don't think I've ever used Tinder. I think I only used the one, and I don't think it was that one.
Well, they're all kind of similar.
They are, though, right? Yeah, yeah.
The swiping right or left. Mm-hmm.
So in a new poll, people were told to assume it was someone they found attractive enough to date, so these are even deal breakers for hot people.
Okay.
First, here are the five worst things to see in a guy's profile. He seems aggressive or violent. 84% said that's a deal breaker. Yeah, I would think so.
That's a straight up no.
His profile includes something racist.
Mm-hmm. Deal breaker.
No. Yeah, 79% on that one. Only 79%? Only 79. Yikes. Oh. His profile includes crude or sexual content.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He talks about wanting an open relationship. and he just came across as really negative. Okay.
Negativity is a definite turnoff.
Mm-hmm. Now, here are the five worst things to see in a woman's profile. Her bio includes a link to one of those like OnlyFans things or something like that. Like, that doesn't do it. Mm-hmm. Her profile includes a Venmo link.
Send me money.
She wants an open relationship. 47% of people on that one, and it was, for women, it was 75% said that was a deal breaker. For men, 47% said that.
Wow.
And obviously, you know, when I say men, I mean, you know, any sense. Like, obviously, dating is just dating.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She has kids. 46% of men said that's a deal breaker. Only 31% of women said the same.
Hmm.
Interesting. I find that more interesting on the women's side, just that's a high, that's a 31%. That seems high to me. I wouldn't have expected that. Men, I understand my species. We're fools. We would turn down a good thing because of something like that. Like that does not surprise me with men.
Mm-hmm.
That you would lose out on somebody amazing because they have children, which is actually a blessing and a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. For the women's side of things, I could say some of that trepidation comes with how is the relationship between the potential guy and his ex-wife or ex-partner, mother of children.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that's that different on the guy side. As far as a concern, but I don't know if it would stop somebody, that it would stop somebody from dating like that. That part too. Mm-hmm. That's just, it feels really lame and childish to me, which is kind of funny considering that they don't want to date somebody because of kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And wanting a throuple where it's like three people in a relationship, 43% said no to that one. But a lot of the young dating world is doing that stuff.
Yeah, thruppling. Yeah. It just seems weird.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a foolish romantic, so to me, it seems like the opposite of what I look for in a relationship. Mm-hmm. But you and I talk to young people about this. It's working for them. Like they, I don't know. Some people it is, some it isn't. I'm sure, but. Mm-hmm. Some fairly petty things can also be deal breakers, like 5% wouldn't date a woman who loves Disney. And another 10% wouldn't date somebody who doesn't love Disney.
Wow.
And 5% wouldn't date a guy who wore a hat in his profile pic.
Interesting.
A hat.
Because they want to know if he has hair or not.
Yeah. The one thing almost no one could no one called a deal breaker was owning pets. So feel free to mention that.
Yeah.
or just say nothing. Only 23% of women and 17% of men said having no bio is an immediate deal breaker. So that wasn't really? Even a deal breaker to people. That is interesting.
I think part of that is coming from the online dating burnout. People are getting frustrated with, you know, I put all this effort into making this profile and I got nothing. So, you know what? I'm going to try again this time after whatever the last failed thing happened. And this time I'm not putting in the effort. I'm just going to throw up a whatever and see what happens.
I don't know how you, quote unquote, fix something like this, because it feels like something that should get worked out by society. You know, like we'll figure this out ourselves society wise. I don't know, maybe it's something that doesn't necessarily even need fixing. Maybe it's something like this is just the way that the dating is going forward. Dating shouldn't be any harder than it should be easy. You know what I mean? Like, I think that when you meet somebody and it works, it's like, man, this is effortless. This is awesome and everything. But nothing worth having in life comes easy. Everything takes some work.
Relationships take work.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it feels like one of those things like, can we get the ball rolling here? And then the hard stuff comes, you know, just get the ball rolling, just get it going. But just even getting it going is difficult. I have never understood how people date, because I don't know how. Like, I can walk in front of 20,000 people in my underwear and deliver a monologue with no problem whatsoever. Ask me to go up to a pretty girl and talk to her. Words are fun. I got nothing. I don't know how people do this, let alone in 2023, where there's less opportunities, people are going to the bars less and those kind of things, and people don't want to meet people at the bars anymore and that kind of
That's the thing, James. There's not as much community togetherness and time spent together. The dating world has changed completely, and part of that is because of the, in my opinion, the losing of the sense of community in a lot of our areas. We don't, you know, it's not like we have a citywide dance once a week,
right,
where people would go to meet other people and hang out. We don't have as many opportunities, and obviously this is before my time that those things used to happen, whereas now it was throughout my dating years. Well, I guess, you know, go out to the bar and see if you can meet somebody, or go to church and see you can meet them. But guess what? You can meet kind of awful people at both of those locations.
Oh, absolutely. You can meet awful people anywhere. You know, I have to, I'm very grateful that I met Seth before this really became the thing that it is now. But I met him doing something that I enjoyed doing. You know, finding those common interests can be something you do in person, not just online.
Well, I don't know. I guess we're not going to fix it. I thought we might be able to fix dating. I really did. I had some high hopes on that one, but maybe next time.
I think that being, you know, involved in and engaged in it, if that's where you're at in life, and trying out these different things, because I don't know, I think I have been successful. I've also failed, but you know, you just never know what's going to happen. So just keep trying, I guess.
Yeah. Getting into getting a palate cleanser in us right now, getting to some good stories of the day that we want to talk about. There's some fun stuff coming up this week. Wanted to make sure to mention that our friends over at Lincoln High School have their spring concerts going on. They got one of them happening tonight at 6:30. District Orchestra in Fieldhouse. That's going to be at 6:30 tonight from Lincoln High School. Tomorrow, Assumption High School and Middle School has their spring choral concert. That is going on tomorrow at 6:30 in the Assumption High School Gymnasium. It is free and open to the public.
Mm-hmm.
Encourage you to support these events and follow these kids. And a really quick reminder that everybody, that registration for Stuff the Desk is open. You can find out more by calling 211, contact our good friend Amy, or you can go ahead and go to the website uwswac.org. That is United Way of Southwood and Adams County's website.
Mm-hmm.
You can find out more information, register, spread the word about this, because we want any family that needs those supplies to get them.
Right. And we've also got Curious Savage coming up again this weekend, Thursday night, Friday night, 7 o'clock, Saturday, 2 o'clock matinee, 7 o'clock p.m. performance.
One more thing we wanted to touch on here as well as a local good story, one right here in our studio.
Yes, it's Hoozle's Rise to Music Competition 2023. It's going to be going on Thursdays in June and July at 6 p.m. at Hoozle's at the Lakes in Nakusa. We are looking for people to participate. So if you have ever thought about this, now is the time to sign up. The second annual Rise to Music Competition will kick off on June 8th. Summer musicians will compete for the title of Rise to Music Champion 2023, a cash prize, radio airtime, and more will be the prizes. So the competition is designed to provide musicians with a safe space to showcase their music, gain exposure in the industry, and rise up in their music career. Registration is open. Go to the website, hoozlesrisetomusic.com, or find them on the web on Facebook. All genres are welcome, from country to rock, reggae, even acoustics. And this year, musicians will look forward to additional exposure across the Civic Media Radio Network, with shows such as Director's Cut right here on WFHR with James and Seth, and on Max Inc. Radio, which goes across the network. Musicians can register as a solo, duo, or trio, and there is no entry fee. Just sign up. You are expected, though, to be prepared to play a minimum of 15 minutes of performance time. So you will can perform covers or your own original material. And for musicians, again, register. Visit us, hoozlesrisetomusic.com. Qualifying prize qualifiers. So each week, the qualifier will win radio interview time on WFHR, performance at Wisconsin Rapids Rafters Ballpark, and a $200 cash prize. And the grand finale prize, the one who takes the cake, will be get a paid residency with Hoozles at the Lakes, studio recording time, radio interviews with Civic Media Network, performances at Wisconsin Rapids Wisconsin Rapids Rafters Ballpark, a cash prize, and the title of Rise to Music Champion 2023.
This is our opportunity to support local, buy local artists and out there, and help them get their voices out there, help them get their music out there more, spread the word about this event. Bookmark your Thursdays this summer.
Yes.
We got them covered. It's such a fun event. Big shout out to our own Steph Schmidt and the great work she's done on this. Our friends at Hoozles that are done such a great partners when it comes to this one. We want more and more and more and more musicians. We know they're out there. Spread the word about this event, everybody. Go to hoozlesrisemusic.com to find out more.
Wanted
to mention this quickly as we're exiting. A Holocaust survivor named Helen Kahn celebrated her 100th birthday on Friday by throwing out the first pitch at the Yankees game.
Good for her.
And it was a pretty darn nice throw. And we don't always get to do a segue where that's a good story of the day leading into Playmakers, which is coming up in just a few moments. Beth, Melissa, thank you for a great show. Have a good morning.
Thank you, James.
You too, James.
Stick around for Playmakers. Seth and James coming up with that. We are going to be taking your calls with your sports thoughts and feelings on Playmakers. We'll be right around the corner after CBS News here at WFHR, locally grown radio.